with the truth and attempted to write Robert Hooke out of history, having borrowed many of Hooke's best ideas. It has been established, for example, that the famous story of the falling apple, seen during the plague year of 1665, is a myth, invented by Newton to bolster his false claim that he had the idea of a universal theory of gravity before Hooke. In fact, Hooke described such an idea and the rule that every object, such as a planet, moves in a straight line unless acted upon by some outside force, ironically now known as Newton's first law, in the mid-1660s, when Newton was an unknown, very junior member of Cambridge University. He only graduated in 1665. Until Hooke mentioned these ideas to Newton several years later, Newton subscribed, as surviving documents show, to the idea that planetary motion was caused by whirlpools in some kind of fluid filling the universe. Newton also lifted much of Hooke's work on light and colours, and Newton published, significantly immediately after Hooke's death, as his own theory of heat, an idea that has been described by historian Clara de Mildt as very, very like Hooke's earlier work. In one respect, though, Newton was a better scientist than Hooke. He was a brilliant mathematician. And he outlived Hooke, so he had the last word. Until now. We've not attempted to provide complete biographies of our subjects, who have been well served in that regard by Lisa Jardine, Hooke, and Alan Cook, Hawley. Our focus is on their scientific achievements and how these were fundamental to the development of science in England. But there is, we hope, enough biographical background here to give some insight into the kind of people they were and how they were both, in their different ways, products of the society they lived in. Hooke has been described as England's Leonardo, a polymath whose achievements extended far beyond the realm of science. He came from a poor but respectable background, the son of a curate on the Isle of Wight. With the aid of a modest inheritance, he was able to attend Westminster School and go on to Oxford as a choral scholar without having to pay fees. This was in 1653, during the parliamentary interregnum, and since music was banned in church services at the time, he got the scholarship without having to sing for it. He eked out a living by acting as a paid servant for one of the wealthier undergraduates, normal practice at the time. He then moved on to become assistant to Robert Boyle, the father of chemistry. It's now widely accepted that it was Hooke who discovered what is now known as Boyle's law of gases. Hooke was the only one of Boyle's various paid assistants to be credited by name in his writings. Through Boyle, Hooke became a member of the inner circle of British scientists of the day, and became the first curator of experiments at the Royal Society. He was the man who made the Society a success, but perhaps because of his humble background, he was always touchy about priority, and famously got involved in rows with Newton and the Dutch scientist Christiaan Huygens. Hooke pioneered the use of the microscope, wrote the first popular science book, praised by Samuel Pepys, made astronomical observations and kept the Royal running. One of his great friends was Christopher Wren, and after the Fire of London, the two of them worked together on the rebuilding of the city. Many Wren churches are now thought to be Hooke's work. Hooke was the best experimental scientist of his time, the leading microscopist of the 17th century, an astronomer of the first rank, and developed an understanding of earthquakes, fossils, and the history of the Earth that would not be surpassed for a century. Edmund Hawley is remembered today for the comet that bears his name, but, like Hooke, he had several strings to his bow. Hawley came from a relatively prosperous background, did well at school, and went up to Oxford in 1673. There he was able to indulge his passion for astronomy by taking with him equipment including a telescope and sextant that would have been the envy of a contemporary professional astronomer. His work impressed John Flamsteed, the first astronomer royal, and with his and other help, Hawley was able to wangle a trip to the island of St. Helena to carry out a survey of the southern sky.